New Orleans signed CJ Spiller for something other than sitting on the fucking bench.
31 other passes that should have been intercepted with you.
So that's why I have David Johnson on my board higher.
If you're doing a live draft, wait till you're drunk to draft this guy. We welcome you to the Fifth Down.
What up, Fifth Downers? You are listening to the Fifth Down Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Johnny Slokes, and we got Double D on again today, and Double D does not stand for taking double dicks or drunk driving. It stands for the Diesel Doctor. What's going on, man?
Oh, not a whole lot. Yeah, I hope I don't, but boy, what a weekend we had.
Yeah. Week 8 has come and passed, and that means that it is now time for Week 9's Waiver Wire Show, Episode 40. Yeah, what did you think about this week?
Yeah, I thought there was a lot of interesting games. Not a whole lot of top performers out there. Julio Jones really underperformed, and, you know, there's a lot of unexpected, yeah. You know, surprises,
like he rolled his ankle,
say.
Huh?
Yes. Yeah, a few injuries you might want to take note on this for this week.
Well, speaking of that, let's jump into some news and notes. Quiz in my mouth, Rodgers, he is in a walking boot. He injured his left foot in Sunday's game. That's kind of bad for Tampa Bay. I mean, they just can't get a healthy running back right now.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, they already got Charlie Sims on IR. I mean, Doug Martin had a setback. He should be probably back in the next, like, 2 or 3 weeks. But, man,
so
they just can't catch a break.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
All right. Corey Coleman is cleared to return to practice. So I think he's nearing his return.
And they could use him.
I mean, they could use all the playmakers they can get at this point. Because, I mean, they're like 0-8. They need to get something going.
Definitely.
Travis Benjamin, he's dealing with a PCL sprain. He's looking into a second opinion. He apparently injured his knee back in week 6 against the Broncos, and he's been playing through it, but he just wants to make sure like there's no additional damage.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, if he was to miss any significant amount of time, I mean, that's going to open up a lot of targets for guys like Tyrell Williams, Dontrell Inman. I mean, that's another offense that's just getting depleted by injuries right now, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, Inman, I think he's just an average receiver at best. I don't think he's going to wow anybody, but if you need a plug and play, I guess, you know, in a high pass offense, I mean, you know, you can take flyer on him.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think he's just like another dude. But he would definitely be jumping into a starting role if Travis Benjamin was to miss some time.
Definitely.
And you guys can all stop asking me questions about Niles Davis now because he is waived. The Packers are done with him after his short stint. He wasn't used a whole lot. They're moving on. He very well. He might even end up back in Kansas City.
I told you in the earlier show this week that I had no interest in him, and I just thought he was washed up. And Diesel Doctor was right.
Yeah, it looks like Green Bay thought the same. Tim Hightower had like 26 carries last week. And he looks like he's getting an increased workload.
And what does that say about Ingram? My God, has he hit rock bottom? He's fumbled two weeks in a row.
Well, you know, when I flipped to the game, I was just sitting here thinking, why is Hightower getting all these carries? And then he kept getting all these goal line carries. I was like, is Mark Ingram hurt? And I was like trying to find some news to find out if he was hurt. And then I looked at the stats, and he had like 3 carries for -9 yards, and he fumbled the ball. And I was like, oh, no, they probably just benched him and said, fuck you.
And that's kind of what happened. The bad thing is Hightower got stuffed 5 times at the goal line.
Yeah, he looked horrendous. I mean, overall, I guess he had a decent game.
Well, he went up against Seattle. I mean, they got a pretty good run defense. He rushed the ball. Well, let's face it, what did he get, 126 yards? And he carried the ball 26 times.
He carried the ball 26 times for 102 yards.
Or 100, yeah, there you go, 102 yards.
That's a little under 4 yards a carry.
Which is pretty good against Seattle, though.
Especially, I mean, the guy was out of the NFL for like 3 or 4 years before last year, you know.
I believe me and you touched on this earlier this week. We were talking about Ingram. Why don't they run the ball? You know, they put Hightower in, they run it 26 times, and they gain 100 yards on the ground, and they control the clock. Hello?
And they won.
And they won. What have we been trying to tell people on the show?
You know, that's the style of offense that suits Norman. Granted, we all know that they have Drew Brees, and he's going to sling the ball around, but they control the clock a little bit. It's going to help their defense out, you know what I mean?
I agree.
I don't know how fantasy relevant this injury is, but Tyrann Mathieu is out for 3 to 6 weeks with a shoulder injury. And, you know, Arizona's defense has been he's been a top five unit thus far. I think that could be a blow for him. So, if I mean, if you have the Arizona defense, be wary about that.
Yeah, good point.
Just one more little tidbit. Really, it has nothing to do with fantasy at all, but Jamie Collins was traded from New England to Cleveland for a compensation third-round pick. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I heard it was something to do with the contract dispute, if I'm not mistaken.
It always is. I mean, England doesn't like to pay people.
I'm surprised, though, you know.
Well, if you think about it, Jamie Collins is actually the backup to Mayo. And then he came into the starting role, and they're like, well, we replaced that position before. Why not do it again? And they also, the week before, traded the Lions for Vinoy. Maybe that's the guy that they're hoping can step up.
Good possibility.
All right.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that.
Let's talk about some of these weeks. This week's top performers. We'll start at quarterback. Derek Carr had a monster game, 513 yards for 4 touchdowns. He was just slinging the rock all over the place.
Oh my! He had a game.
Yeah, I mean it was nice to see him hooking up with both of his receivers. I know Amari Cooper got most of the attention because of the game that he had, but you know Crabtree had 100 yards himself, so he was definitely distributing the ball pretty nice. Kirk Cousins had a pretty good game, 458 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did have that one interception, but he looked pretty good for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Palmer had 363 yards, 3 touchdowns. He also had an interception. More of a comeback mode than anything else, you'd think, though.
Yeah, and, J.J. Nelson had a pretty good game, but I think it was to do with the game flow. I wouldn't look too much into that. He had a pretty good game,
Downtown McCown had 341 yards for the Browns. 2 touchdowns, but he also had 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
He just looked average. He was barely over 50% completion percentage, but, I mean, if you're going to get that kind of volume, you know you're going to get some yards, you know?
Yes.
All right. We already talked about how Blake Bortles had the worst 300-yard game we've ever seen in our lives, so you can just skip over that one.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and pass on that one.
Tom Brady had 315 yards and 4 touchdowns, despite only throwing the ball 33 times.
The ageless wonder.
39 years old, and he just keeps doing what he's doing, you know?
He's a true gunslinger. I mean, he just gets the job done. He's unreal.
He's probably one of the most intelligent quarterbacks I've ever witnessed.
He's got perfect mechanics.
Yeah. No, there was only 3 running backs this week that had over 100 yards rushing.
Yes, I know.
One of them, DeMarco Murray, was the only one to get over 100 yards rushing and a touchdown. He had 123 yards on the ground with 1 touchdown. The other two got 100 yards, but they did not score. Melvin Gordon had 111 yards. And the aforementioned
Hightower. That was his best performance of the year. Melvin Gordon, he did not score a touchdown, but he ran the ball really good against Denver.
Yeah, he did pretty well.
Gillisley, wow, averaged 7 yards a carry.
it was just, it was kind of unfortunate that they had to kind of move into a more pass mode offense because of them falling behind.
Yeah, but he just proves that he can run the ball over there in Buffalo.
But, you know, he did manage to score at least one touchdown, though, so that really helped him out.
Yeah, definitely. We got another guy I'd like to touch on. We were talking about him is Denver running back Booker. Yeah, he
Devon Dave Booker.
He did save the fantasy week by plugging one into the end zone.
All right, let's go over to some of the receivers that had a pretty good game. We already talked about how Amari Cooper had 173 yards and a touchdown. They had that one bomb that was nice to see.
Amari Cooper, and what can you say about him?
Well, I can say that I'm very grateful to have him on my fantasy football team. He's scored a touchdown in three of the last 4 weeks, so he's definitely on the
streak. I'm very ungrateful that you played against me this week.
Well, it kind of looks like you're going to have the second highest score and you're going to lose. So.
Yeah, I'll take the points.
A.J. Green had 9 catches for 121 yards, scoreless yards. Still a pretty good game.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Dez Bryant, in his return, 4 catches for 113 yards and a touchdown. Unfortunately, I did miss most of that game. The only play I seen of that game was the Jason Witten touchdown. So, but yeah, he looked like he had a pretty good game on paper.
On paper, yeah.
Grant continues to impress, man. He 5 catches, 109 yards and a touchdown.
What can you say? Grant will be Grant.
He's going to do Gronk-like things.
Yeah.
Yeah, we touched on Crabtree a little bit. Another guy that I know that you're pretty big on that had a really good game was Jamison Crowder. Clam Chowder had 9 catches, 107 yards with a touchdown. And,
yeah,
he's consistently getting open.
Yeah, he's been real consistently. You know, like, I almost think he's taken over DeSean Jackson's role as a deep threat.
Deshaun Jackson also left the game with a shoulder injury, too.
Well, at first they said it was a concussion, but he did come back in, but then he went back out.
Well, he was on the sideline. He didn't return to the game, but he was on the sideline. He had a wrap on his arm.
Yes, but Crowder still got it done, even with Reed in there. That's what surprised me.
Yeah, I've always liked his game. So he's a guy we'll bring up. He's a guy we'll bring up later on in the show.
Okay, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, welcome back Tyler Eifert in a big way. 9 catches, 102 yards, and a touchdown. He was looking like a monster.
Well, I wish I would have played him, but
they had no answer for him.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what Cincinnati needed. And that also opened up a lot of room for the running backs to get moving. And that, they both running backs, they did their thing. And
yeah,
what can you say about A.J. Green? What did he get, 18 targets?
He definitely had a monster workload over there.
He reeled
in 9 of them.
Yep.
Now, it was kind of nice to see Jeremy Hill get like over 20 carries.
Finally, huh?
Yeah.
You know, what surprised me is Gio Bernard only had 1 reception in the game. That's odd.
I think it may have been game flow. Yeah, I was just about to say that.
I think with Tyler Eifert in there, that may take away from a little bit of Gio Bernard.
Right, I mean, they're going to kind of use like the same like area of the field too, you know?
Yeah.
Travis Kelce finally breaks out. He had 7 catches, 101 yards of touchdown. It's nice to see that because, you know, they don't really have a very high-volume offense.
So you can bench him next week then, right?
Yeah, I don't know if you can bench him right now. He's actually the number 5 tight end in the league right now.
No, I think they're on bye, aren't they?
Actually, I think you might be right. I'm not. No, they had their bye week 5, actually.
Oh, okay. But he probably won't do nothing next week, though.
Terrell Pryor had 6 catches for 101 scoreless yards. He could have had a bigger game, but he still had a decent game in his own right.
He's having a really good year for a rookie.
Yeah, I think he's a decent wide receiver, too, at this point. It'd be kind of interesting to see what happens to his play once Corey Coleman comes back, though.
Yeah, it's going to still take Coleman time to get up to speed, it's hard to come back after being out so long, you know, and have to relearn everything again, being a rookie.
Well, you know, I don't really think he'll be that bad because it was a broken hand. As long as he can manage the ball, I think he'll be all right.
Yes. We'll see.
All right, let's jump into our waiver wires. We'll start off at the quarterback position. I really am not a big fan of a lot of quarterbacks that are on the waiver wire, but there are a couple that I think could be interesting streams this week, especially if your quarterback is on a bye.
Yeah.
I think my stream of the week this week is going to be Trevor Siemian going against the Oakland defense. He's going on the road, but I think you got to like that matchup, especially if you're like me, a Derek Carr owner. You're not starting him against Denver. That wouldn't be wise. It'd be wise to, you know, pick up somebody else that could have a good game. And I think Trevor Siemian have a good enough game for you.
I think you can get away with that. And I also kind of like Sam Bradford. You know, he's having a good year. What can you say? He's making them receivers look good this year.
Yeah, you know, despite being on the offense he's in, he's still averaging right around 240 yards, which I think is pretty good for a Minnesota offense because, you know, they're really not juggernaut, if you want to say it, in terms of offense.
Well, if you're streaming a quarterback, if you can get 240 yards and maybe two touchdowns, I'd call that a successful waiver pickup.
And he could very well do better than that going against Detroit next week. I think that's a pretty good. I think that's a pretty good spot for Sam Bradford if you're trying to stream a quarterback.
I think we both proved our point about Osweiler, how bad a quarterback he is. He got 186 yards against Detroit in one score.
Yeah, you know, Detroit actually had a pretty good game against Houston, and it pretty much had everything to do with the fact that they were stuffing Lamar Miller, and Osweiler just isn't a good quarterback.
Well, you know what play I didn't like? I did not like going for it with over 3 minutes to go in the game.
The onside kick. That was fucking stupid.
That was, you know, and you proved my point. Detroit was playing damn good defense the whole game. Why not put it in the hands of your defense? You know, all you need is a stop. You got all three timeouts left. You know?
Exactly. That's why. Honestly, I thought I was so surprised when they did that. I was like, well, that's the game right there.
But, you know, at least he had enough guts to admit that he was wrong after the game. He did say he made a mistake, which was kind of shocking, but he owned it. He definitely owned it.
Right.
I did not like that.
Yeah, it could cost him a playoff spot, too, because, you know, they're on a three-game winning streak, and that's a big loss for him.
You know, I would have put the game in the hands of my defense to maybe, I mean, because Osweiler wasn't doing nothing. You know, all they had to do was stop the run. That's all they had to do, you know, burn their timeouts and put the ball into Stafford's hands. He's been doing it the whole year. He didn't even get a shot.
Yep.
So,
hey, some other weaker streaming options that you could throw in there is you got Tannehill going against the Jets. You got Fitzpatrick going against Miami. I mean, I really wouldn't recommend either one. But I mean, if you're in a tough spot, I could see it happening.
Oh boy, we were right on Forte too again.
Yeah, you know, give him the ball, you know.
I said on the last show he's gonna have a big game, and he had a big game. He had close to 100 yards rushing and two touchdowns. I think he had over 100 yards total with two touchdowns.
You know, Bilal Powell looked pretty good, too. Like, I mean,
he punched one in.
Yep. Yeah, I think he had, like, 8 carries, 79 yards, a touchdown. I mean, I guess that's to be expected against that porous Cleveland defense.
Yeah, and Fitzpatrick, he was efficient, too. I mean, he didn't turn the ball over.
He was average. Fitzpatrick was really bad in the first half, though. I think he was like 3 of 14.
He picked up his game in the second half, though. 240 yards and a touchdown or something like that.
All right.
Nothing to dazzle.
You want to go over to some running backs?
We can. There's right. some out there that I'm interested in that everybody should be interested in.
Thomas Rolls, he's not expected to be back for week 9. but maybe if you want to pick him up and stash him, if you have an IR spot at this point, maybe I can get on board with that. But other than that, you could stay away from him. Sproles actually was the lead back over there in Philadelphia this past week, and he only owned in 55% of weeks or leagues. But you know, I think that's something that's going to change from week to week to week. He doesn't really, really understand what they're doing over there. You know what I mean?
That's a miracle round.
Because we've seen it. We've seen that Sproles get that kind of workload before, and then the next week he just doesn't do anything.
I've seen that show before. That's a bad ending.
Yeah,
next week
you'll cry.
He'll get 3 carries, 5 yards. I've seen this show before.
With Jeremy Langford supposedly being back, I know they're playing right now. I'm away from the game, but do you think that either him or Kadeem Carey are worth picking up?
I don't want any part of Langford, that's for sure. If I was going to pick anybody up, it would probably be Carey.
Yeah, although I was watching a little bit of that first quarter, and Howard was looking pretty good. They gave him the start. Looked like they're sticking with him.
Yeah, he better, because he's fighting for his job right now.
Yeah, I know he busted off a long one. I thought he was going to score, but he looked like he kind of gassed out there towards the end.
Yeah, I think that's a full blown committee over there right now.
It's gonna get messy.
Yeah.
I know this next guy I want to talk about, I know he's your boy, Rob Kelly. He had a pretty good game, 21 carries, 84 yards. He's only owned in 35% of leagues still. Do you think there's a chance that he could run away with that job?
Well, he looked good. He was running hard. He was running downhill, like I told you on the show this week. I said
he
runs downhill.
He's consistently breaking tackles?
Yes. He doesn't catch too many balls on the backfield, but he does run the ball good. And Matt Jones, he's fumbled how many times this year?
Like three or four or something like that.
Yeah. I think if Rob Kelly had a good game, it's a good chance. As good as he looked, man, it's hard not to go back to him. Back to the well.
Yeah, you got to give him the ball, man. Give him the ball and see what the young guy got,
He looked really good. I mean, he didn't look like the game was too big for him at all. He was, he ran great.
With Jaquizz Rodgers potentially out for next week, who's the next backup over there in Tampa Bay? You got Peyton Barber, I think, is probably the most popular choice. And you also have Antoine Smith. I think I'm leaning more a little bit more towards Peyton Barber at this point, though. We already seen what
too.
Antoine Smith is.
He's a one-hit wonder. The thing about Antoine, they do have a good relationship from Atlanta. That's the one thing he's got going for him.
I could see him getting some third down work.
That could get really interesting because Antoine, he can catch the ball out of the backfield. That's what he's known for.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I can see him getting some third down work. He's a guy that can take it to
the house
at any point.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he's got burning speed. That we found that out a couple years ago. But,
did you hear last week about the Patriots? They activated Tyler Gaffney. You know, when they did that, it kind of made me think, how close is Deion Lewis to returning if they're activating him with all the depth they have on that in the backfield? It's kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, something stinks over there.
Well, you know Belichick, he likes to surprise people with his running backs. Look what happened a few years ago with Jonas Gray.
Yeah, I hate them backfields over there.
It just kind of makes me think, are they activating Tyler Gaffney in hopes of using him? Who knows? I don't know. He's the white Deion Lewis.
He's the white Deion Lewis. There you go.
I just wanted to bring his name up a little bit.
Yeah, that's very interesting though that you brought that up.
With Niles Davis being waived by Green Bay, do you think that Don Jackson could get more of a workload?
I believe he could. Yeah, someone's got to carry the ball.
Going back to the news and notes, Ty Montgomery got the sickle cell trait. That's why he didn't play.
How close is Starks to coming back?
I think he's probably still a couple more weeks away.
So this could
be like a couple week rental for Don Jackson. I don't know how much they're actually going to run the ball. It seems like they're pretty content on trying to throw the ball 60 times a game.
Yeah, that's what I think they're going to do too. I mean, you know, I wouldn't feel real confident about starting Don Jackson in a, you know, even in a flex at this point. You'd have to be really desperate. Maybe in a 16 team league, you might be able to play him, but you know, in a 12 team half point PPR, I don't see enough value there.
Yeah, I could not agree more. Some other running backs that might get some opportunities is Charmander West. I think he'll end up drawing a start if Ware can't go next week with that concussion.
Yes.
And I know this is something that you kind of hit on the last show. You're talking about, you know, maybe you should just think about picking up West because it's a run-heavy offense, and then you see the byproduct of that, you know, where he got
a
concussion.
Yeah, I hope I didn't jinx him by saying that, but I did say it would also be a pretty good pickup, you know, because Jamal Charles had a setback, you know, and they got to have somebody, you know, someone's got to run the ball, and it's a run-heavy offense, and lo and behold, West might be the top waiver
wire. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, you always want to have that running back in an Andy Reid offense because they always produce.
I'll tell you another guy that I think might be another good pickup if you're streaming for running backs if you need one. And I also brought his name up this week, too, as well, is Procise. And he had a pretty good game this week.
100 total yards. Yeah, you know,
yeah,
I know a lot of it came off of that trick play, but he's been getting a lot more work lately.
He's pushing himself for more work.
He's
catching the ball. He's taking over Spiller's role. And, you know, and you know, the way they're throwing the ball over in Seattle, well, I should say the way they're not throwing the ball over there in Seattle, you know, it's going to be those short intermediate passes, and that's right up his alley. And he's very talented. He's another one of those hybrid players we were talking about. Yeah, that would be another sneaky pickup right there.
If you could pick him up and he has another game and people start noticing that, you might be able to just pick him off a waiver wire and be able to trade him away even maybe, you know? Because you know that Rawls will be coming back soon, so who knows what his workload's going to look like when that happens. But I liked him coming out of college. I'm finally glad to see him getting on the field.
Let me ask you one question, and this will probably, you know, this is for everybody out there. All right, say you don't have the number one waiver. You won't be able to get West if you don't have the number one waiver. Who would you be willing to waste a waiver on if you can't get him? Who would be your top one, you think? As far, you know, if you need a running back.
I mean, you can.
Which one strikes you?
We already talked a little bit about Rob Kelly. I don't know the extent of Matt Jones's injury, so I do like him. I kind of like Hightower a little bit. I think he's going to get a lot more work going forward. I know it'll probably be more of a committee, but you got to like what he was doing last week. He had 26 carries for like 102 yards, and you know what he did like the last like 5 weeks of last year too. You know he's capable.
Yeah, and he did it against Seattle.
Yeah, you know, it'll be kind of interesting to see what happens over there. I mean, at this point, he definitely earned himself some more carries.
Do you think that could turn into a two-headed monster?
I think it is going to be going forward. I mean, they don't like to give Ingram a full workload as it is, and I think this is going to just push in. It's going to be really hard to start Mark Ingram from here on out, in my opinion. I've been saying it for a couple of weeks now is you need to start trading Mark Ingram away.
Yeah, what strikes me, he carried the ball 26 times. They haven't done that all year, and they won the game. What do you know? They controlled the clock. Yeah. They
think maybe this is a wake-up call for them?
Yeah, I think it is. They found a way to disguise the defense. Same thing we were talking about last show. They did it, and, you know, because I had a lot of people had Seattle winning that game.
Yeah, I know I was definitely one of them. I did not win my parlay because of that.
I mean, nobody would have guessed it would have been Hightower carrying the load 26 times, you know, controlling the block. nobody called that. That was a weird one. And I guarantee you no one started Hightower this week.
I mean, look at my sheet here. He's only owned in 5% of Yahoo leagues, so I don't think anybody even really had him on the team.
So he's gonna be a hot. I think he's gonna be a hot waiver wire pickup.
And I also think going forward, I don't think this next guy I'm gonna talk about. I don't think he's gonna have like any standalone value going forward. But if you're a Lamar Miller owner, I think at this point you should probably stash Alfred Blue on the bench because. I mean, if it's a shoulder injury that continues to linger, I don't like that, you know?
Yeah, I've noticed his value has been going up. You know, it's been, you know, a lot of people are starting to pick Blue up.
Yeah, so I wouldn't really necessarily recommend it unless you have Lamar Miller on your team.
If you have a deep bench and you have room, it wouldn't be a bad pickup. But if you got a small bench, then I don't know if I'd do it. Unless I own Miller, I'd definitely want to pick him up.
Yeah, especially if you're like 12th on the waiver wire this week. Like, it's not a bad pickup at all. It's pretty solid.
Right. Or if you're in a 16-team league, you know, or something like that, it'd be different.
Yeah. All right. Is there any other running backs that you want to mention?
What happened to Dwayne Washington? He was a healthy scratch.
He was. It looks like he's fallen off behind the depth chart to even Zach Zenner, you know.
Yeah.
I think that has had a lot to do with the fact that, you know, it's a crowded backfield over there now. They got a lot of bodies. They're not really wanting to hold on to four running backs going into every game. So
yeah.
I think it is what it is.
And then it looks
definitely still worth a stash, though, in dynasty leagues.
In a dynasty, yeah. And getting back to Oakland, it looks like they went back to a three-headed monster again.
Yeah, it still looked like Latavius Murray had the bulk of the carries, although they didn't run the ball a whole lot with, you know, Derek Carr throwing the ball 59 times.
Yeah,
it's definitely a murky situation.
Yeah, it's a murky situation, but, boy, Carr had a game. Yeah, I wouldn't run the ball either if my quarterback was throwing the ball that good. He threw the ball 62 dropbacks.
Yeah,
it's gotta be a record.
I mean, maybe I'm not knowing that off the top of my head. I don't think so. I think there's been guys that actually had like over 60 attempts and stuff like that.
Well,
but,
talk about Oakland.
Oh, that maybe.
Yeah, that's a lot though. That is.
Let's go over to some wide receivers.
All right.
What do you just think about the breakout performance from Tyreek Hill? I'm sorry, Tyreek Hill.
And you know who made him have that game was Foles.
Yeah.
Hit
him on that bomb down the sideline.
Yeah. And the funny thing about that game is Smith had a concussion. He come out. He got evaluated. He went back in, and he pulled
himself back out again.
Yeah.
And the team confirms that he did not suffer a concussion.
That there might be looking into that one. That wasn't good.
No.
Yeah, but Foles, man, he played, for the time he was in there, he played really good.
Well, you know, that's Andy Reid was his coach over in Philadelphia when he was playing very well.
I don't have my stats in front of me, but gosh, man, you know, Kelsey got 101 yards received back in their passing game. Actually looked good.
Yeah, it just kind of making me wonder if, you know, do you think Tyreek Hill could be that number two receiver over there in Kansas City, which I know it's not really valuable because it's not a high-volume offense, but, if Alex Smith is to not go next week and Foles is the quarterback.
I hate teams like that, but, I mean, I suppose with all the buys, if you're looking to stream somebody, I mean, you might be worth looking into. But me personally, I wouldn't want to pick him up. I wouldn't have room on my bench for him. Yeah. I'd have to see more of it.
Yeah, I agree. Steve Smith is owned in 54% of Yahoo leagues, probably because of the bye and the injury. People are starting to drop him. Have you heard anything about his injury? Do you think he's ready to return?
No. He's still questionable. They don't have him ruled out, but he's doesn't look like he's healthy. You know, he is up in age.
It's looking like
it's
looking like a pretty good name on the waiver wire, though.
Yeah, well.
If he's out there, you know. Mohamed Sanu is out there. You could probably leave him there. He only had his second game of the year over 50 yards.
Well, you know, it's Tyler Eifert and A.J. Green. I mean, that's all.
He plays for Atlanta now.
Oh, yeah. My bad. Yep. They had the other guy on Atlanta. God, what is his name?
The tight end?
No, receiver.
Austin.
The heck is his name? He had a pretty good game.
Jamison Crowder, owned in 49% of leagues, and we'll y'all see what he could do. He's been pretty consistent. I know he's had a few down weeks, but he's been pretty consistent this year catching the ball.
Oh, Crowder's
he's only owned in half the leagues out there.
What would you consider at this point, especially with DeSean Jackson have a terrible year? You know, they're in a high potent offense that likes to throw the ball. I mean, I know they had him like a wide receiver 4 or 5. I mean, I would think more of him like a wide receiver 3, wouldn't you, at this point right now?
Yeah, especially in PPR leagues, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could start him as your second receiver right now. See, especially with all these buys, you know.
Yeah. All right. Anunua, owned in 45% of the league, and he had a pretty
good
game.
He had a good game.
Yeah, I think he had like 11 targets, which is nice to see because it seems like they're kind of going away from him the past few weeks. So he finally got back in the game.
He popped one in the end zone. He got close to 100 yards receiving. Now, he had a pretty good game. But
yeah,
he's another
nice
one. He'll have a good game, then they have a bad. You know, it's just there's no consistency there.
Hey, he's a guy that you kind of don't feel good about starting.
Right. If you're looking to plug someone
matchups.
In, you got to play. Yeah, you got to play matchups. Right. But
you know, a guy that a lot of people probably dropped because of the bye week, and he hurt his hand, is Sammy Coates, owning 42% of leagues. But you know, Sammy Coates had. Before he hurt his hand, had a 40-yard catch in every single game he played in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let me ask you something. When is Ben coming back, though? Because I don't trust Sammy Coates if I don't have Ben.
I heard he could be coming back as soon as this week. I wouldn't bet on it, but apparently he's been practicing limited.
Yeah, because that's... Without Ben, you have no Sammy Coates.
I mean, you got to know that Big Ben's probably the toughest quarterback in the league. Like he
if
plays
there's a chance
injury.
To play, he's going to play. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see him playing. I could see him playing this week, but probably at the more likely it's going to be Week 10.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And we already talked about Corey Coleman. Do you think Sammy Watkins is worth a stash if you have like an IR spot or a large bench?
I guess if you have a really big bench, I don't know what to say about him. If you got injury reserve and you got a deep bench, maybe I just don't have any faith in, especially in the passing game. I mean, and then he's injury prone.
Did you see that missile that Hogan caught from Tom Brady last week?
I did not.
He caught like a 50-yard bomb from him, but unfortunately, you're not going to see that very often. I think you could leave him on the waiver wire. There's just too many mouths to feed over there.
Too many mouths to feed, right.
Cardinals have said that J.J. Nelson is their number 2 receiver.
Everyone's hurt over there. Yeah, you know, that's all I was telling you earlier. He's, you got Fitzgerald. Gerard's hurt. Floyd can't catch the ball, you know. And you got this young guy, J.J., you know, give him a shot.
Yeah, you know, because of all the buys, I actually started him in one of my dynasty leagues, and it really paid off. I think he got me like 27 points or something like that. I definitely think that he's probably one of the better wide receiver pickups this week, to be honest.
Yeah, I could on board with that. You're always looking for receivers. I mean, you got 6 teams on a bye. That'd be a nice little sneaky pickup.
right.
He had a good game.
Do you want to go over tight ends, or is there any other receivers you want to mention?
I think you pretty much hit on all the ones that are probably worth picking up, you know, in 12-team PPR.
All right, let's go to tight ends then.
Okay.
Who do you think are the top? This is aside from the waiver wires. This is just like in the league as a whole. Who do you think is top three fantasy football tight ends right now?
Well, yeah, Greg Olsen, he's got to be up there.
Yeah, he's number
one.
Gronk's
up there.
Gronk is not in the top three.
But
you know who is in the top three? No, I'm asking who is the top three tight ends are right now in fantasy football.
Oh, okay. Well, Gronk would, but he's okay. I'm going to say Greg Olsen.
Yep.
That's one. Jeez, tight ends been funny this year too, haven't they?
Yep. That's why I'm asking you this question. It goes Greg Olsen, number one.
I couldn't tell
Jordan
you. Jordan
Reed is number
you.
Two. You know who number three tight end is right now? Martellus Bennett.
Wow.
And then it's number four, Gronk. Number five, Travis Kelce. But you know who's number six is Jack Doyle. I know he had a down week this week, but isn't that kind of surprising that he's in the top ten?
No, not really. I mean, you know, it's been a funny year. I mean, you know, with all the injuries and everything, and then Indianapolis receiving corps depleted.
Yeah.
You know, someone's got to benefit from it.
Steve Moncrief come back and score a touchdown, though.
Yes, yeah. Well, he's a big target, and that's his red zone guy. You know, and I wonder if that's going to hurt Doyle's, you know.
I think it kind of did a little bit, because it looked like Doyle was that number two option, and now he's back to being the number three or four, you know what I mean?
I'll tell you who I do like right now that will probably – he's not there right now, but I think he could finish top three and be right up there as Ertz, or not Ertz, Tyler Eifert.
Yeah, you know, I think they've been missing him. Yeah, they've been missing him.
Good. Man, he's a big body. He never drops the ball. And, you know, he's second receiver over there.
Yeah.
He's going to finish strong.
A lot of people dropped Dennis Pitta because of a bye. He's 44% owned. He's a pretty good asset for PPR, but he doesn't have any touchdowns this year. I don't think he scored a touchdown in 3 years.
They get a lot of catches, though. Does that
that's what I'm saying. He's a PPR asset. That's about it. Eric Ebron, 37% owned. He had a pretty good career day. Yeah, it was his career high for yards.
75 yards, I think he got, or something like that.
7 catches, 79 yards.
Yeah, he had a pretty good game.
You know, Fedorowicz, 15% owned, and he's the number 13 tight end right now, and he didn't do anything for the first, like, 3 or 4 weeks.
Well,
The only thing that's kind of lacking is the touchdowns. He's gotten two in the past 5 weeks, so that's something that you'd like to see him get, but he's caught in at least 4 passes the past 5 weeks.
Well, anybody that plays Detroit, start your tight end. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, he scored. Well, actually, he did score against Detroit.
Yeah,
didn't he?
He did. Yes.
Three in the past five weeks.
Here's a nice little stat you can look it up. Is Detroit's given a touchdown pass to every tight end they have faced so far,
except for Vernon Davis.
He almost got in though.
Yeah, he did. He got knocked out at the one.
Yeah, he got knocked out at the one. He almost got in. Yeah, but yeah. Detroit is real soft against tight ends. I wouldn't care who I'd start. You know, they're playing Detroit, put a tight end in there. You know, you got to strain against teams like that. They don't cover tight ends very good.
It's kind of like what I was doing last year. Any team that was going against Oakland, I was like, oh, I'm going to start the tight end going against Oakland.
Yeah, Detroit's the one this year.
Yep. All right, is there anything else you would like to add?
No, I think we pretty much covered all the juicy ones. If there's anything else you...
I just want to say thank you for everyone listening. I really appreciate all the support that we have gotten this year. This is our 40th episode, And I was honestly, I just started this just for fun, and you know, look where we are now. So I thank you guys for that. Please let us know if you're enjoying the show. Let us know on iTunes and leave us a review. That'd be greatly appreciated. That'll pretty much do it for today's show. Please tune in Saturday and Sunday morning for your weekly matchups. We'll also try to get you some weekly rankings somewhere in the middle of the week as well. So look out for that one. And stay classy, Fifth Downers.
Peace out.